Amen. It was just over a year ago, last February of 2015, our elders had a, I don't know what we called it, a retreat, right? We went and stayed in a very cold, if you're in kindergarten through third grade, Miss Kelly is in the back. If you want to go be a part of that class, feel free to keep your kids in here. We love kids. Actually, why are the babies sitting in the back row? The baby should be up in the front row. But we like coos. Might be the only amen I get today. Yes. So a little over a year ago, our elders met together. And if you remember, we were going through the book of Luke. And so even before that, we had talked about what we were going to move to after Luke. And we began that discussion in February of last year. And it took us a really long time. Because we realized that we wanted to move to the Old Testament. There was a desire to preach and teach this. We didn't know if it could be done effectively. What we landed on was the book of Genesis because of its significance. And the first few chapters of Genesis, I don't think can be overstated how important they are in the life of a Christian. I don't think that we can say too much about God as creator, or as in today's topic, sin. I don't think that we can overstate any of it. Piper was quoted as saying, if your preacher's living up to his sermons, then he's preaching too low. And that sunk into me this week. As we go through this text, I don't have it all together. I don't have sin figured out. I don't have this, you know, sin problem taken care of in my life, except for the blood of Jesus. I sin. Today, I have sinned. Okay? Even if I didn't know it. It has happened. And so, I don't stand up here preaching on sin because I have it figured out. I preach to myself this morning as much or more than any of you. Ryan told his son this morning that he needed to be in here to hear this sermon. I told Ryan I was preaching to him. But this morning, as we go through this text, as we look at a sin problem that started here in Genesis, let us not fall to the temptation of pointing or thinking of problems in others. Let us sit under this text and realize that it is us that has a sin problem. That it is us that has sinned before a holy God. That our relationship has been broken because of our sin, not because of the person sitting beside us or across the room from us or sitting somewhere outside of this building. It is our issue. And so this morning, I will start with something that is not in the outline. First, if a serpent talks to you, run, okay? Or quit smoking something. I don't know. But so that's extra. That's not on the outline. If an animal of any sort speaks to you, you can safely assume that you should not be there and you should leave, okay? Which is probably what our first woman should have done. However, let's dive in. Allison read for us the first four verses of chapter 3. I'm going to read all of what we're going to cover today so we can get a picture. If you remember, we've talked about creation of the world, and we just got finished with creation of man and woman. Last week we talked about woman and how God created her out of man. And so we are probably maybe within hours of that. There's no timeline here. There's nothing between chapters 2 and 3. We don't know how much time has elapsed, but it very well could be the same day that they were created. Even if it wasn't, it is because what we know of humans, it is most likely not that far away from their creation. And so it says here in chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to woman, 'Indeed, has God said to you, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat or touch it, or you will die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' And God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'This, what is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" God, this morning, as we look at this record of the first sin, God, I pray that you will let it enter our hearts in a way that turns us to you. God, we don't fully understand sin. We have come in close proximity to its impact. And this morning, as we dive in, God, may you get all honor and glory from it. And it's in your Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, I wish that I had a pulpit, because I'm going to want to pound it at some point, not because I'm mad, not because I'm trying to drive a point home to you, but because I'm upset with myself at some point in this sermon. This hits home, and it should hit home to all of us as we dive into what God is saying here. And the first, if you're going to fill in the blanks on your on the outline, the first one is the temptation to sin. If we look at this story, the very first thing is Eve being tempted. And we won't know that her name is Eve until verse 20, but I'm going to call her Eve today, okay, if that's all right with you. Eve is being tempted. By whom? If you want to, you don't have to, but Revelation 12:9 says this, "And the great dragon, which was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan." And even over in chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 2, "And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan." It is pointed out to us through Scripture that this serpent was not just a serpent. He was Satan. Now, did Satan, shapeshift into a serpent? It doesn't matter. He was being used. The words that came out of the serpent's mouth was straight from the pits of hell. It was the devil. So let's look at temptation. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Let no one, when he is tempted, say, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when his lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. This temptation, many have talked, many have conspired, many have gone to philosophy to determine whether or not God brought evil into this world, if it was created by God. We see very clearly in Scripture that sin entered into humankind through man. It wasn't God implanting evil into the heart of a man. It was man being drawn away by his own lust. And in this first sin, it was the lust for food. Can't say that I don't understand. Temptation, we have allowed it. Individually, you and I, we have allowed it. She saw the fruit and it was good for food. At that point, she just gone about her day. She had gone about her work, about her business. And the devil saw the opportunity to point something out. Like, hey, that tree's pretty good looking. I mean, you need all the rest of these. Look at that one. It's pretty good. Temptation started in Eve when she looked at that fruit and saw that it was good. Of course it was good. God said it was good whenever he made it. But there was a reason he did not desire to eat it, which leads to the second point of this, and that is the lies of sin. Lies, L-I-E-S. I don't know how you spell it, but that's it. Lies. Surely you will not die. Surely. At this point, Eve has already been allowed, in the words that we read in James, has allowed the lust to conceive in her heart. Lies of sin. You will not die. We are blinded by our lust, so we can't see the truth. See, she thought that this would be great. This would be, oh, it's food, and I can actually become a little bit more like God. I can eat this and be wise like him. What? It's not what God told her. He told her, you'll die. But when she was given over to her own thoughts, she believed the lie that she would be better off if she ate it. Well, that has to hit home with us. Because when sin bears fruit in our life, I mean, most of the time we think, well, we'll be better off if we just fudge a little bit on our taxes. Look, it'll just help a relationship here if I just lie this once. It'd be better off if I just go on by and not help this time. I got something else to do. I'll be better off if whatever. Or maybe it's not I'll be better off if, but we'll feel better if. Eve thought, well, man, I've had a bite of all this other stuff in the garden. I hadn't had a bite of that yet. I bet you it tastes great. We'll be better off if we just give in, or if we just say this one thing, or we do it our way. We think that we give in to the lies of sin when we give over to the lust of our heart. Feel better if, maybe no one's going to get hurt if I do this. It's just me. It's no one's business if. don't allow the lies of sin in. Because all of these lies, all of the lies that were told to Eve, all of the lies that she believed, all the lies that we believe about sin in our own lives that conceive sin in our lives, go back to one thing, and that's us. All of these are about me and you. They take our focus off of the one who came to save us. The one who created us. The one who created Eve. The one that she like saw face to face. She knew God took a rib out of that dude and made me. And how can I not trust him? We can blame Eve all we want, but if all humanity had made it to me and you, we'd have ruined this thing too. At least I would have. Because we are selfish. Sin seeks to turn the focus from him who saved us to ourselves. Sin destroyed the perfection, and next week, as John comes and teaches on the second half, we're going to see the impact of the fall. We're going to talk about the implications of the act that is happening in these verses. We're going to talk about what it did to humanity and how it has affected us today. But ultimately, it ruined what God called good. I say ruined in a light term because he had a plan. We can't allow sin, the lies of sin, to impact. And that moves us to the act of sin. See, it seemed right to Eve, and when she gave it to Adam, he didn't even have near as much time. Like, he didn't think about it like Eve did. He didn't ponder it. He just ate it. He's like, oh, yeah, that does look wonderful. Looks good to him. And the act of sin, there was no going back. The damage is done. We all know the verse, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We see it. Paradise has been lost. A relationship has been broken. Mankind forever changed at that point in history. I wish I had more words. I wish I have struggled all week with this central point. I wish that I could allow you to feel the weight of this. I wish that I could pull back the curtain, take us back in time, and see that event. To feel what had just happened in our universe, in the relationship between man and God. I wish that it could impact me as drastically as it impacted Adam and Eve. I wish that there was something in my life that could be taken away and shown to me the devastation in which the act of sin has caused. I hadn't come up with it. I read this scripture and it reads like a child's storybook. But the impact of this is huge. It's massive. The act of sin has in church, the greatest thing I can say is the act of sin has caused the need for God to come back as Jesus. Now, we hear the name of Jesus all the time. We talk about him. We sing about him. The act of sin is, was, will be the plan that God put in place. Because of our sin, God had to come and save us. We couldn't save ourselves. If Adam had been perfect, if Eve had been perfect, we might could look to them for salvation. We say, look, we can be perfect like them and we can follow this path. Praise the Lord. That's not the way he did it. Praise the Lord that God Almighty came and saved us. Even in the act of our sin, even when what we thought all hope was lost. Paradise that God had made was shattered, which leads us to the realization of sin. Adam and Eve, after they had sinned and their eyes were open, realized that they weren't wearing any clothes. So they did the logical thing and covered up. And then what happened? They still didn't realize what they had done. They still didn't necessarily, they thought, well, I'm not wearing anything. I better put something on. They covered themselves up. They hid. How do you and I cover up? Some of us cover up by saying we don't care. Doesn't matter. Sin doesn't mean anything. We blame others, as we'll see Adam and Eve do. Tell a lie to cover it up. We attempt to justify our sin. Or we do comparative sin. We I did sin, but it's not quite as bad as dude down the road or person I see on TV. And so it's not that big a deal. We need to realize when we come to the point where sin is evident in our lives, we need to realize this is not how it was supposed to be. This wasn't how God intended our relationship to be. He didn't intend for sin to be rampant in our lives. But Jesus. And I'm terrible at telling jokes because I just get to the point, right? Like I just jump to the punchline and I'm terrible at them. Like it just doesn't work. Unless I can do something quick, ain't no funny coming out of me. And I have almost rushed through this sermon to get to this, the confrontation with sin. Because the confrontation with sin brings us into confrontation with God. God knows our sin. He knew Adam and Eve's sin, and God even realized the consequences of that sin way before Adam and Eve did. You can almost feel it. God was walking to them in the garden in the cool of the day. He knew what had happened. He knew that it had transpired. He knew what had taken place. He wasn't running. He wasn't caught off guard. He wasn't, you know, he didn't teleport himself to being right there beside him. He said he was walking. And you can almost feel God looking around at what he had called good, at the creation that he made and this garden which he had put together for man. He had put this place together for us to be over it and to cultivate it and to work it and to have relationship with Him. And as He walks, God knows that this is about to end, that He is about to put man out of what He desired for them. He's walking through the garden and looking at everything. He probably even knew exactly which piece of fruit Eve took off the tree. And He confronts them. Our confrontation with our sin will happen in the presence of God. When we are confronted with our sin, it will be because of God. And we will have to realize that we can't get out from underneath the consequences of that. From day one, God had planned. He knew what is going to happen. He was not caught off guard. When He created light, God created light on day one. He knew that ultimately we were going to fall into need of Him. That's what all this is about. This isn't about how much bad you and I have done. It's not about how many acts of sin we have committed, or how many times we've fallen into temptation, or how many, if we've ever come to the realization of sin. This is about us and Him. This is about God. This is about Jesus. This is about Him. This is not about the bad that I've done, other than to say, because of the bad I've done, I need Him. Adam and Eve needed Him for one act. It was the only act of sin they had committed to that point. And their relationship with God was broken. They needed Him. And you and I need Him today. We need Him tomorrow. We needed Him yesterday. We'll need Him a year from now. Our kids need Him. Our co-workers need Him. Our family members need Him. People in Calhoun, in Wachita Parish, United States, around this globe, they need God to save them. Their act of sin has caused that need, and we have to realize that the confrontation is not a confrontation necessarily with our act of sin, but is a confrontation with the one who we have sinned against. Which will necessarily go to the last point, is the response to sin. Adam blamed God. Hey, this other person that you decided to make for me, she did this. That's pretty bold. Eve blamed a talking snake. That's a little crazy. Because they knew who had made all of that. Adam knew that he had made Eve out of himself, that God had taken a rib and made Eve. He knew that God had created all of that and he put him over in charge of it. And still his response was to blame God. It's like, God, you know, I know you said we were very good whenever you did it, but maybe next time you should make something that's very, very good, okay? Eve's like, I don't know what you made, God, but there was this talking snake. I don't know. They couldn't hide from God forever. They can't hide from their sin, and you and I can't hide from ours. We can have the blame game going on. We can blame whomever. However, Adam and Eve felt the repercussions of their own sin. You and I will feel the effects of our sin. If there's no Jesus. See, the response to sin is a response to the gospel. The response to sin in our lives and in humankind is a response to what God has done for our sin. God knew our sin, and even with that broken relationship, he sent his son Jesus to die for us and died a amazingly cruel death, not so that it could be a spectacle, but so that it would make the way for you. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's saying, I am the Father. I am God. You must follow me. The reason I came was because of sin. Would Jesus have died for just Adam and Eve's sin if that had been the only sin ever? I don't know. You know why? Because there's a whole lot of sin. Even if none of you had sinned, I sinned enough for both of you, for both of us. I've sinned enough to realize this week that I don't need to be standing here talking about sin. I sent John and Ryan a message in the last little bit that a man studies and preaches sin very quickly becomes aware of the issues. But Jesus, but God stepped into our world and made a way despite of our sin. He desires relationship with us through Jesus. Doesn't matter if it's one sin or 50 million sins. Doesn't matter how big that sin is, how little that sin is in your mind. We all have a need for God. have a need for God whenever I allow myself to fall into temptation, when I have believed the lies. When I have committed acts of sin and I have come to the point of realization that I cannot save myself, and I come into confrontation with God. And that is this morning, we are all standing before God naked. New Testament says that for those that are saved, it is not our righteousness, thank goodness, but His. When God has invaded our life through Jesus and He is the Lord of our life, then it is not our righteousness, it is not our nakedness that is seen, but His. And there are some people in this room that need to hear, when God saves you, your sin is not what God sees. We need to confess our sin. Don't hear me wrong. We can't be Donald Trump and not confess sin, because all of us have sin, and God desires for us to do that. But Jesus has paid the price for that sin. Some of us need to come to the realization that Jesus paid it all. There are some in here that do not have right relationship with God through Jesus. They've never allowed themselves to be confronted with their sin in front of God in a way that they allow Jesus to become Lord of their life. They've never responded in faith. So all of us need to sit underneath the weight of our sin, but realize that that weight has been taken away by the man we call Jesus. That is who we come and we praise on a weekly basis, and that is who we will praise next week and the week after and the week after that, because of what He did for us. And it is not anything that we did, obviously. Adam and Eve couldn't save themselves. You and I can't save ourselves. Nobody here can save themselves. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray. God, this morning, You've shown me that I cannot take sin lightly in my life. God, I know that we don't understand all the consequences of our sin, and we don't understand everything that even You did for us on the cross. God, I thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You for making a way when it is because of us that there was no relationship. God, right now as we sing, pray that we sing because of what you've done for us in our lives, that you have saved us despite our sins. And for those that have not, God, I pray that you work in their heart, that you draw them to yourself, and that they too can sing to your glory, to your majesty, because of the work you've done in their lives and because you have saved them. God, we love you. We praise you. And right now we sing to you. And as we respond to your word, to your son, ask that you just take this time and do with it what you will. In your son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.